morning of June 27th, a French police officer shot and killed Nahil Mehzouk, a 17-year-old French-Algerian delivery driver, during a traffic stop in the western Parisian suburb of Nanterre. At first, the police described the event as a case of legitimate self-defense. To their disarray, the scene was filmed and showed Nahil was shot at point-blank range when he tried to escape, proving Nahil never threatened the police in any way. The video instantaneously became viral, sparking a wave of outrage across the entire country only hours after the murder took place. The Nanterre prosecutor, Pascal Prache, said his initial investigation led him to conclude the conditions for the legal use of the weapon were not met. The Interior Minister, Gérald Darmanin, he said the professionals of disorder must go home. And this was in the context of the riots that took place. While French President Emmanuel Macron said that these acts are totally unjustifiable. For many, taking to the streets is an expression of frustration and anger over injustices such as racism and inequality. For others in France, it's a case of immigrants not adopting French values. Welcome to Geopolitical Horizons, the podcast from the Geopolity. I'm Adnan, and here to discuss what's taking place in France is Alamir, who was born in France and he grew up in Nice. How are you doing, Alamir?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Adnan, for having me on the podcast.
Okay, Alamir, I think let's jump straight in because we've got a lot to talk about. It's now been over a week since this incident took place. What do we know now exactly? Because there seems to be various stories flying around. There was a narrative that came from the police and the state. So over a week later, what do we actually know now? What are the facts and what things have been contradicted?
So as you already pointed, so the 17-year-old Nahil was shot, killed by the police 10 days ago. Initially, there was no video filmed by passerby, so we only had the narrative of the police officer who explained, if I recall correctly, that the car was trying to ram at the police officer, and in self-defense, the police officer had no choice but to kill the driver. However, they didn't count on the fact that someone had secretly filmed the scene, and it was a car trying to ram a police officer. Actually, the opposite. We're seeing the car being initially stationed, and the police officer at the driver's window with the gun pointed at the driver, having a scuffle with the driver, and the driver fleeing away with the car. I've also seen a passenger in the car. I've read his testimony, and in Sky News, and he explained that the police officer was actually hitting the driver with, you know, the butt of the gun. So he was repeatedly hitting Nahil with the butt, and Nahil by accident took off his feet from the brake pedal, and the car drove off. But anyway, the point being is that the video footage filmed secretly completely contradicted the original version of the police officer. And this put oil on fire and set the trigger for the week of violence we've seen across the country.
Okay, so Alamir, the sheer scale of destruction and the number of police deployed, I read 45,000 additional officers were deployed. So this isn't some isolated issue. It seems that there's more underlying issues at play. Is that the case? And if that is the case, what are these?
So that's not the first case. You might recall there were previous incidents of police, you know, killing youth from Muslim immigrant backgrounds in 2005. And that also led to, you know, massive riots all across the country. Likewise, 2 years later, 2007. Actually, to be fair, you know, the youth who participated in the riots this week were probably not born, you know, in the previous one in 2005, 2007. And then if you want to go further back in history, you know, a heavy-handed police repression when you had the War of Independence in Algeria. So both in France, in Paris, you know, killed a lot of, you know, Algerian demonstrators, and as well, obviously, in Algeria, that was far worse. And so when France, you know, was a massive colonial empire, and had all his colonies, especially in the Muslim world, in the African continent, the way the state would assert its authority would be with heavy-handed law enforcement, especially police repression.
Oh, so that's interesting, Alamir. You feel that really the colonial mentality has just continued into modern-day France?
Yes, very much so, Adnan. The immigrants that, you know, the youth of immigrant background, which, to be honest, might be now third, fourth generation, they obviously come from those lands where France had colonized before, the Grand Palace lands. And there was always, you know, this tension, this enemy thinking mindset between the dominating nation, France, and the people they had colonized in the Muslim world. You know, the French, obviously, they feel they were the ones who invented the Western Enlightenment ideas, you know, secularism and liberty, and what forms the basis of capitalism with the French Revolution. They took it to the four corners of the world, and hence they built themselves a colonial empire on the back of it. And they always saw the countries and the nations that they had colonized as being, you know, inferior because of not having those values, not believing those values, and also not being from the same nation as the French people.
Mm. So, and I mean, the argument coming from the French state and the police is that they are finding it very difficult to police immigrant areas because of gangs, because of drugs, because they say that a lot of immigrants just want to live off the state, they don't want to work. And as a result, they're putting all the blame on actual immigrants. However, you mentioned that the police carry a lot of the mentality which has come from the colonial era. I mean, what would you say if I was someone French, white, love my country, and I see these pictures and I just see loads of looting going on, I see loads of buildings burn. A lot of people would view this as there's a problem with immigrants. Now, what would you say to somebody like that?
Obviously, on the face of it, you know, there's no justification, especially Islamically, for the looting and the rioting. You know, that's wrong in and of itself. However, just looking superficially, the issue doesn't address the root cause and, you know, the systematic nature of it. You know, like I said, it's not the first time it happened. Happened already 20 years ago, happened, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, and it's been happening. You know, you can link it even to the colonial past. And the reality is that France, for economic reasons, needed massive immigration on the back of World War II, you know, the country being destroyed and not having enough manpower to rebuild the country. So they went and poached labor immigration from the colonies, but they never viewed them as being fully part of the nation. You know, I remember France is being the country of secularism is also the way it forms the state is this idea of nation state. So the state, what forms the state is that French nation. And, you know, when you say nation, is obviously often means, you know, ethnicity, spoken language, you know, values, and shared history. And so immigrants do not fit at all into that picture. And so the way the immigrants and the generations after have been treated, you know, by the system, it feels there's a two-tier system in France, you know, and just as the way you could feel in India, say, with classes, with, you know, the caste. In some sense, you can make a parallel with France between, you know, the main white ethnicity, you know, people nation, and in the way immigrants from a different ethnic background and mostly Muslims are being treated by the system. Police brutality is one case at hand of this systemic discrimination by the system towards immigrants. You know,
so just on that, Alamir, you grew up in France. You were born in Paris. You grew up in Nice. You just, what's day-to-day life like for an immigrant? And what I mean is, you know, a school, the education system, getting a job, just day-to-day life. Well, what is it actually like growing up there as an immigrant? Because the picture you're painting is you've basically got state suppression, state discrimination. So just, you know, you grew up there. What's it actually like growing up there?
Growing up and living as an immigrant, as a Muslim in France, is very challenging. Obviously, the famous issues of the banning of the hijab in schools and all public buildings, that's quite famous across the world, and that's actually reality. You know, if you're, for example, a Muslim woman growing up and living in France, pretty much, and then wanting to wear the hijab, you know, you pretty much have no chance to find a job. That's quite a big thing. And likewise also for men, you know, if you grow a beard, if you say, I want to go, you know, take a longer break on Fridays to go to Juma, pretty much a lot of workplaces, if not most, would prevent you from doing so. The in terms of police treatment of Muslims and immigrants, so unlike the UK, police in France can stop you at any time in the street and ask you for your identity card. So identity card is kind of the internal passport that you must carry on at all times. And if you don't have one or they're not satisfied, they have the authority to bring you to the police station and lock you up for, say, one night, two nights, three nights, until they've checked out with your immigration status and so on. And I've actually seen this, you know, firsthand in the street, you know, like police just, you know, randomly asking for less, you know, immigrant looking people for the papers, for the identity card. They have it on them. So that's it. They were arrested and taken in police custody and then released without any charges at the end. But they had to spend, I don't know, probably one day, 2 days in locked up in a police station. And that's something also the youth, you know, that's something that happens very frequently. They say more frequently with youth from immigrant background than say youth from, you know, white background living in well-off areas and so on. Yeah, what else?
What about job prospects?
Job prospects, yeah, good question. So usually the immigrants and, you know, Muslims in France perform lower, you know, economic status jobs. So like say cleaning, you know, working on a
more manual labor.
Manual labor, exactly. We don't see that many immigrants or you know, or Muslims being doctors or engineers or CEOs. So it feels there's very much a two-tier system, you know, might be deliberate, might not be deliberate, you know, but it's the way the system has been set up. And obviously the fact across the board like this, you know, shows that there are issues with the way the system treats the government and, you know, society treats immigrants and Muslims. So in terms of the job, you know, like it's very common to hear, you know, anecdotes, stories from immigrants, from Muslims that they send, you know, hundreds of CVs, you know, but because they have the wrong name on the CV, they live in the wrong area, the wrong neighborhood, the CV is thrown straight away into the bin. I had a friend back at uni days. He had a very good background, you know, did very nice high academic studies in engineering. And then he kept applying, and just never got the job. And then someone advised him, look, just change your... His name was... He had a Muslim name as a first name. So someone said, yeah, change your name to a French name, like Timothy or something like this. And first CV immediately got interviews, got, you know, everything went well, and he got the job. And then just at the end, before actually signing the work contract, told him the truth and said, oh, okay, that's actually my name. But these sort of stories are quite common. So even finding job as well is quite challenging for Muslims.
Mm. So, Alamine, when I look at France, I see the French language in decline. I see French power in decline. And I don't see France as a power in the world. How much has this got to do with the actual problems we're currently seeing?
It's quite interesting. Like, when you live in France, you know, myself having grown up in France, going through the schooling system in France, you know, when you watch, you know, French TV, you're kind of led to believe that France is one of the major powers in the world that sits on the same table as the USA, you know, in terms of world issues. And now, having lived away from France for a number of years, I realized that that's actually a bit far from the truth. A good case at hand was probably remember, Adnan, the issue with the Australian submarines last year. So France had signed a contract, multi-billion dollar contract, to build a fleet of submarines for the Australian army, which is quite important with the issue with China in the Far East. And that was, I think that was dubbed the deal of the century on the French side, in terms of the scope and financial size and the importance it had on for the defense industry and national security interest of France in that region of the world. And then in no time, I don't know, after a year, 2 years later, America uses influence with the UK, and they made Australia totally rescind that contract and throw it in the bin. And that was viewed as a massive stab in the back by the French government, politicians, and elites. And they lost, you know, this multi-billion dollar contract. So that was a massive damage of French interests on the world stage. And the only best they could do was call back the ambassador in Washington. And then they send him back to Washington after a few days. So pretty much nothing they've done as a retaliation for that act against the interest. But yet on the domestic side of things, you know, they're treating, you know, the sons and daughters of the people who drive their buses and, you know, cleans the offices in a much harsher way. And that's quite sad and not courageous stance to take. You know, it's very easy to lash out on these people who don't have any political protection and backing and, you know, the vulnerable segments of the French society, as opposed to, you know, dare to challenge, you know, the superpower that really hurt French interests on the world stage. And so this story is to show you as an anecdote, the idea that France is very much in decline as a superpower. You know, like 19th century was the second largest colonial empire in the world. today is really a shadow of itself. You know, doesn't hardly has any colonies. And for example, went to West Africa 10 years ago in Mali, like the US in Afghanistan under the name of anti-terrorism. And it, despite being the better equipped army, didn't do any major gain. And I think they've left now and they've left in shame. And even the local population, really, those mass scale protests and demonstrations for French troops to leave Mali. So it really shows you the diminishing influence on the world stage of France. Yeah, you mentioned also another aspect, the French language. I remember coming to the UK 20 years ago. French language was the default foreign language taught in UK schools. Fast track now 2023. My mom is an English teacher in France. So she came trying to find schools in London that were teaching French in order to try to set up a program of correspondence between students. And I was really surprised. Very, very few high schools now teaching French as a foreign language. So, it feels there's a decline of French power, French culture, and they want to lash out and use Muslims and immigrants as scapegoat for the decline in power.
Issues. So we saw the recent large-scale protests because the government wanted to increase the pension age. And obviously last year and before, we saw the massive Yellow Vests protests. So this would indicate to me that beyond immigrants, France actually faces significant domestic issues as well.
Yes, that's right, Anand. Economic well-being, you know, is getting worse and worse over the years. You know, the cost of living crisis also exists in France. So it's much harder for people to make ends meet. Salaries haven't increased, even though inflation and cost of living have gone up, you know, through the roof. And there's a lot of protests and demonstrations, you know, against the fact that, you know, pretty much like any other capitalist country, like you go 1% living off and monopolizing, you know, the majority of the economy. But, you know, especially on the internal side as well, immigration and Muslims are easy thing to scapegoat. Even though Muslims, let's say, what, 5-6 million, so that's like less than 10% of the French population. And it can't be a case where all the economic problems and, you know, all the problems in France are just done to Muslims, you know. Even if there were no Muslims in France, by the nature of the system, you still see the same problems as you see it in the, you know, other European countries that apply the same system.
Okay. So I was actually going to ask you that, Annemie, if there were no immigrants in France, if France put them all in a boat or a plane tomorrow, would all their problems be solved? But as you've said, these are systemic, more deep-rooted issues which are not linked to immigration. So the wealth distribution, the infrastructure, French power, a lot of that has got nothing to do with immigration. So these problems are actually very deep-rooted. And you're right, the sense I also had was a lot of stuff is being blamed on immigration. And this seems to be the same narrative across the West, actually, where everything's blamed on immigration. I mean, I'm in the UK. Brexit was based on foreigners, immigrants, and the EU. And now that the UK is Brexited, the problems have got even worse, which showed that most of the problems in the UK had nothing to do with the European Union or immigrants. They were more deep-rooted. So I suppose this nicely brings me to Alameed. How much did this all feed then into the chances of the right wing? Marine Le Pen in the last two elections has taken the election to a second round. And that showed that she actually has significant support around France. So I suppose my questions are a few. How much support does she have? Who is a typical supporter of the right wing? And where do they fit into French politics? And what do you see as their future prospects?
So to show you the evolution of the right wing over the decades, her father was obviously the creator of the political party, Jean-Marie Le Pen. So in the 90s, when I was a kid, he didn't have a single MP in the parliament and would never make it to the second round of presidential elections. Yeah, just to give you context, presidential elections in France, you have two rounds. So you have all the candidates in the first round, and then the top two ones go to the second round, and whoever gets over 50% gets elected as president. So her father, Jean-Marie, would never make it to the second round until there was this big earthquake in 2002 where he made it to the second round. However, against Jacques Chirac, all the parties allied together because it was a big no-no, you know, a big, you know, he was used as something very bad for far right to be elected. And I think he got 20% in the second round. Now, you fast track 20 years later with his daughter, Marine. She's made it to the second round for the last two elections. And she's got, least a dozen MP now in the parliament. And the last one against Macron, I think she, in the second round, she got like 45%. So that was that's a big jump over 20 years. And actually, it illustrates the trend of how French political discourse has evolved. You know, far right is views and thinkers and themes very much day to day or in mainstream television, you know, TV platforms, newspapers. A famous one of that is Eric Zemmour, being convicted even by French court multiple times for racial incitement and hatred. By his good primetime TV show, he's one of the most followed, thought, you know, speaker, journalist in French. And he's got, I mean, Marine Le Pen is even very, how you say, very soft compared to his views, yeah? And so the far-right views are much more mainstream now in French society. I would say even way more than the U.S. as a measure of comparison. You know, like when there was a George Floyd killing by the police in the U.S. a few years ago. You did feel the U.S., especially the white population, was kind of split, you know, half-half or 60-40, you know, between those who are, you know, supporting Afro-American rights versus those who are, like, you know, Trump supporters and standing with the police. In French public opinion, you don't see at all a split with the killing of Nahel. The immigrants are pretty much by themselves, you know. The French population, by and large, supports the police, you know. There was even, like, a donation. I think Nahel got, I don't know, in tens of thousands of euros. The police officer who killed him got 1 million euros donations from the wider population. So it really shows you where, how the French society has evolved. And to be honest, I feel we're not miles away from how German public opinion was in the 1930s when they elected Hitler into power.
Mm. So what do you see as the prospect? Can you see a Marine Le Pen presidency in the future?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a possibility. I don't think it would be that much different from Macron and from, you know, traditional politicians who've also had very draconian policies and legislation against Muslims. You know, remember Jacques Chirac, you know, when he won the elections against Le Pen, the first thing he did was banning the hijab in schools. So it wasn't Le Pen who did it. It was like rather was Chirac, a mainstream politician at the time. Macron, the one before him, Hollande, Sarkozy, each one of them introduced a host of legislation, you know, clamping down on the rights of Muslims in France. So in that sense, Marine, you know, wouldn't actually stand out, you know, once she gets into power. So the future doesn't look bright for Muslims in France. They're being repressed by, you know, the majority population, and especially by the government and the political elites, and being used as scapegoats. And and unfortunately as well, the response of governments in the Muslim world is been very, very weak. And instead of trying to take a political stance, you know, to protect the rights, you know, of Muslims in France, you know, they do pretty much the opposite. You know, they hand in hand with the Muslim, with the French government on international issues, and governments like Saudi and Qatar and UAE, they invest billions of dollars into the French economy. Now the most famous case in hand is, you know, buying PSG football club, and that's still in contrast. Like I was thinking, the last time a government in the Muslim world took a courageous stance because of what the French government did against Islam was, I think, over 100 years ago with the Othmani Khilafa, when first, I think, wanted to play a play or something like this. And the Khalifa at the time, you know, took a very harsh, you know, almost threatening war, if I recall correctly. So long story short, to say that, you know, the future of Muslims in France in the actual circumstances is not bright.
Alamir, on that note, thank you for your time today and your insights. If you want to learn more about the issues raised today, please check out our website, www.thegeopolitics.com, all one word. You can also learn more about other issues by accessing our website, where you will find comprehensive insights, analysis, articles, and deep dives. I'm Adnan, and thanks for listening.